Welcome to the Dream Chasers set for what is the penultimate night of the Dream Chasers Festival. Of course, it is Melbourne Cup night and Bold Trees night, and I'm joined by the best in the business once again, Mr. Jason Patch Adams and Mr. Corey Smith. Boys, big night last Saturday night. Jace, I watched you doing all the interviews. You did a fantastic job as usual. How was it out there?
Oh, it was a good night, Rich, and Smithy will probably speak more to the crowd. It was a bit of buzz and probably the most amount of buzz I've seen on a Melbourne Cup heat night. So we build up to the final. I mean, we've lost some sort of absolute out-and-out big-name stars that aren't a part of the final, but, I mean, geez, the void was filled pretty well. We've got such an even race to look forward to on Saturday night.
Fantastic, and everyone's desperate to know. Corey, did you end up out of the track? What happened, mate?
I did. I went out for dinner, and then that finished up nice and early. So I went to the track, and I was just going to stay for a couple of races, just have a bit of a look, and ended up being there the whole night. As Patch said, the feeling on track was awesome. The atmosphere was great. It was a phenomenal night of racing, of course, as all Melbourne Cup heats nights should be, 11 Group 1 heats. But it was a ripper. I thoroughly enjoyed myself being able to put the feet up. Didn't have any froth.
That's impressive.
Was enjoyed.
Yeah. No, excellent. I think he's lying. He was driving. I know that he might have snuck one or two in, but good night to be had, as he said.
Fantastic. Right, well, we're going to have a good look back at what happened, and we're going to, of course, look at the two big feature races coming up this Saturday night. They are the Melbourne Cup and the Bold Trees. So we're going to start with the Melbourne Cup. Let's throw the market up. Patch, I might start with you, mate. What's your overall thoughts on the race? I mean, yes, a lot of the stars we thought would be there are not, but it's not the greatest Melbourne Cup ever, but it's an intriguing one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's even as, and it's filled with fast dogs. I mean, a lot of them haven't achieved a lot at the highest level, which is why we might look at this field harshly from a quality point of view, but they're all fast dogs capable of doing good things on their night. It's so even. The market represents that. So when I look at that market, there's value about one like Intrepidus, in my opinion, and we'll speak about him later on in the show. But he is a chance to lead the race. So you're getting double-figure odds for a greyhound like that. So, yeah, sure. You're not going to get much separation from me in terms of those drawn towards the inside, but at least from those numbers in front of us, I think the value sits with Intrepidus.
Sure. Okay, well, let's go back and have a look at a couple of replays. First one we're going to look at is Heat 2. Of course, it's Valenzuela knocking off Zipper on Time, who was the short price favourite. Corey, you want to talk us through this one, how you saw it unfolding?
Yeah, Valenzuela's a dog that's probably been more known for his strength than his speed early in races. And he showed here that he's been freshened up. He's been set for this. He's dropped back in distance, back down to the 5:15, and he jumped beautifully. He was probably burnt off his feet a little bit during the middle parts of this race by Zipper on Time, who is a greyhound that is massively on the rise, has had 14 starts now for 12 wins in a couple of seconds, but he shows that customary strength right at the end to get the job done where it matters. And it was a tough win. It was a gritty win. He comes up with his ideal draw in the Melbourne Cup with box number one. So he's a dog that has that strength, and he doesn't have to nail the start to be able to win, which is not the same thing that can be said for a lot of the runners in the field.
And Patch, I was listening to you on another show and you said that if Valenzuela hadn't drawn so handy, if he'd drawn wider, he'd probably be out to double figure odds. Is that correct?
Yeah, 100%. It'd be $10 plus for mine if he had that outside draw, because as Smithy said, you don't look at him and sense he's going to be one of the top picks to lead the race. And if he doesn't lead the race personally, I'm not sure he's going to win it. So the draw comes into it massively. He's just got to hold the fence and then he's a winning chance. But yeah, outside part of the track, I don't think he'd be in it.
And of course, Zipper on Time's well in the market, but may not get a run. Any update there? Are you assuming that Zipper on Time won't run?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't remember a reserve ever going into a Melbourne Cup. So all things being equal, given the status and the significance of the race, we're unlikely to see a scratching.
Cool. Let's go look at the fastest heat of the night and was accredited. Patch, I might get you to talk through this one. Comes out humming. And it was pretty much all over, wasn't it?
It was. He just got a lot of oxygen down towards the inside to go through. And he's just, geez, he's flying at the moment. And he's just in a real purple patch and clearly at the right time of the year. So as the numbers suggest, and anyone can go through his data at grv.org.au/race data, he's just an all-round performer. I mean, he's stepping when it matters at the moment. He's got the mid-race pace. He's got the strength. So as much as throughout his whole career, he didn't have this profile as a faultless performer, he's got it now. And whether animals like that who have purple patches like this, their time runs out, it may. But for Ned McDonald. He's hoping that doesn't happen in a Melbourne Cup final. So the pressure is going to be absolutely intense, but he's pretty hard to knock given what he's done in his past couple of runs.
Very good. What is your play in the race, Patch?
Intrepid is to win. And you can take it each way, whatever you want to do. But again, going back through that data, and we spoke about him last week in a similar manner, his turn of foot is absolutely electric. And even though we compare a lot of these greyhounds in their speed quite comparably, break it down. His first 20 metres isn't too bad. His 20 to 50 is electric, and his 50 to 100 is sensational. And then he said his 100 to 200 was brilliant. So I'm not just talking brilliant and all these dogs run that. He is superior at that point of the race compared to all of these dogs. So he's got Paul Zuri on his inside in box six. She'll begin pretty well, and she won't veer off. She'll want to get down to the rail. And the greyhound in box eight, Daisy's Rory, at this stage of his career, he's not a great beginner. So a sense Intrepidus gets room to really loosen the shackles on that turn of foot that he does have. And quite comfortably, I can see him leading the race. So given that, given his double-figure quote, that's who I'll be tipping on Saturday night.
And you're confident enough to make him part of your official Dream Chasers set?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, but it's just, again, from what the numbers that he put on the table are superior to this field. He's likely to get room as far as I see it personally, and therefore, I think he's over the odds. So, yeah,
you got 10 bucks to find out, which is perfect.
Yeah, not only is just a tip in the Melbourne Cup, because we all have to come up with one, I think he's a great player, that sort of quote.
All right, Corey, what are we going to do, mate?
Well, the game is built on opinions, and my opinion is that Intrepidus can't win. I'm going down
here.
Hey,
there we go.
I think there's a couple of dogs drawn in the middle of the track that have some speed and like to use plenty of it. Sprightly Cyane from box number four, Dashing Slay, they'll both keep up the track. I do concede Daisy's Rory will run a straight line as well, giving Intrepidus plenty of room and probably won't bother him in the early stages. But with the speed drawn down low in Kenya Mayhem and Accredited, as Patch mentioned before, Accredited is a dog that's probably more of an all-rounder rather than a dog that is blistering early, blistering out of the traps. But he's a dog that is just in the right form at the right time, and the dogs in four and five are going to run cover for him. So I'm pretty keen on Accredited here. I think around that $4 quote is a great price. I know he's dropping back down from the 600 metres, and people say, well, he's a 600 metre dog. He won the Hume Cup. My Redeemer leading up to the Melbourne Cup won a 600 metre race, got the confidence up, dropped back down to the 515 and got the job done for David Gill. I think it's a formula that can win, and it's a formula that I think will work out well for Ned McDonald. So I'm keen on Accredited here, and I'm showing a little bit of confidence, as Patch is. So it's interesting when we take each other on. It doesn't happen all that often.
And viewers at home can easily back both of them. It's not particularly expensive to have something on both. So that could be the play. Hey, let's move on to the Bold Trees for the Stayers, of course. Exciting race. Let's bring the market up. It's completely dominated by a couple of dogs. Without a Trace and Aiden's Warrior. Boys, why don't we go and watch that heat straight away? So it was heat three of the Bold Trees last Saturday night. Aiden's Warrior is going to jump from box two. Take it away, Patch.
Yeah, well, what you see on screen right now decided the race. And yes, that is track position, because without a trace, you can look at her and think she was drawn in six. It was going to suit her, and it was. And she's the best stayer in Australia. I've still got no doubts about that. But Aiden's Warrior turned up on the night and served up his best. So I still think without a trace is faster than him. I still think without a trace is better than him. Mm-hmm. The thing that's difficult in good races like this, whether it be in sprinting races or staying races, settling behind fast dogs. You can catch them. It is so hard to navigate your way through to be able to get by them. So I think that's exactly the position that Without a Trace found herself in. So now the key to this week is getting ahead of Aiden's Warrior at some point of the race. So I'm too heavily on her bandwagon to jump off now. But I sense she can begin better than what she did last week. And that's going to be vitally important for her to win the race.
So let's bring the market up. She's going to jump from eight. Does that worry you, or it sounds like it doesn't?
No, it doesn't really worry me, because she's just going to run a straight line. She's not going to carve down to the rail. She just needs to begin better. So the only thing I am worried about is her getting ahead of Aiden's Warrior. I just sense that's a huge key to the race, because as Aiden's Warrior proved last week, he's good enough if he gets in front of her to hold her off. But I think she's got more in the tank, particularly early. So again, I'm too deep on the bandwagon to jump off, and I think she's going to be a stayer that takes it all by storm in 2025. So not jumping off without a trace for me.
Exciting. Corey, what do you say, mate?
Yeah, Without a Trace is going to be incredibly hard to beat. As Patch said, she's the best stayer in the country. I stand by that as well. I agree with that. I think she is, and I think she's going to go to another level over the next 6 months as well. She's a proper race dog, but I think the race is going to pan out the exact same way that the Heat did. Aiden's Warrior is drawn down near the rail in comparison to her. 4-8 versus 2-6 that the Heat was in. Copper Rush punched up on the inside of Aiden's Warrior in the early stages of that Heat. I expect that role to be played by Fade to Black. So if I'm seeing it as the same sort of map, I was pretty keen on Without a Trace in that Heat. I've got to stick with her in terms of an on-top selection. But from a punting perspective, I think she's a little bit too short for me to take with that exact same map if the scenario plays out the exact same way. So Fade to Black is a dog that I don't think probably has the class that the top two in the market do, but might be able to be that dog that kind of holds them up a little bit and sets it up for a dog that I thought was an eye catcher in that exact Heat in Mapunga Lara. Now, whether she has the class, whether she has the ability to run down those dogs that are running fast times out in front, that remains to be seen. But I think from a place heavy perspective, Mapunga Lara is value at $16. So I'm going to be going for a little bit of value, but from a tipping perspective, Without a Trace, she's the best dog in the country, in my opinion.
Very, very good. All right, boys, it's time to move to your Dream Chasers sets, which have been very strong. We're actually going to touch on that with a bit of accountability around them after you give them to us. But, Patch, can I get your Dream Chasers set, please?
Yeah, we're going with a trio here. So the first of them is race 6, number 2, Bel Air Ethel. Now, Brendan Purcell trains his greyhounds to race with strength, and this is a greyhound that's got plenty of that. Races over 600 metres, she's been very good, and what we've seen her produce is run-home times that would be considered quite impressive over 500 metres. She's doing that over 600 metres. So she steps up to 700 in the field that isn't the deepest you've ever seen. I think we're going to see a good performance from her. So race 6, number 2, Bel Air Ethel. We'll then go to race 9, number 7, Mallee Beauty, who we know is the star South Australian. She's drawn wide where she needs to be. It's arguably her easiest assignment for a handful of starts. So she's going to be hard to beat and he's priced accordingly. Then we go to the big one, the Melbourne Cup, race 10, number 7, Intrepidus. For all the reasons that I mentioned before, his turn of foot is outstanding, and I think he can get that break to lead 100 metres into the race, and that's what you want to be doing in Melbourne Cup. So he's a value play, and I think deservingly so. So that's the trio for me on Melbourne Cup night.
Thank you, sir. Over to you, Corey.
I've got three as well. First of those, race 4, number 5, Lakeview Lynette. This is a dog I've been keeping an eye on for a while. It's a dog that has plenty of upside, and she's starting to learn what this racing caper is all about. She's got box number 5. She'll keep a straight line. There's plenty of speed in 6, 7, and 8. I think they clear her, cause a little bit of mayhem down towards the rail as they come across. And as long as she can get through unscathed going through that first bend, I think she'll be close enough to run a really good race. So race 4, number 5, Lakeview Lynette. And then I head up over the 595 metres, a dog that this time last year was being argued as one of the best dogs in the country. She's had a few injury issues, and that is Miss Envy. She is an absolute rocket ship when she is right. And I thought her run last week was good, and she's crying out for further distance. Up to the 595 here, a couple of slow beginners to her outside. Box number 1, I think she ticks absolutely every box. So race 5, number 1, Miss Envy. And then another old boy, Smooth Plain, race 7, number 3. Again, there's just a map that I think is going to work out well for him. There's plenty of speed in 1 and 2. I think just gets that suck run in behind them, bides his time. He's a race dog. He's got great race sense. He's a phenomenal athlete, but he's maybe... he is towards the end, but I think this could be a nice one for him to go out on if he doesn't get a run in a race like the Phoenix. So the three of mine, race 4, number 5, race 5, number 1, and race 7, number 3, my set for Saturday.
Very good. And as I mentioned before, boys, we went back and had a look at a bit of accountability to see how you guys were going with your tips, with your sets, and you're doing really well. So you're winning 15.6. This is both of you combined, 15.6% profit on turnover at SP. SPs, you know, often these dogs are firmed a lot. 37.5% strike rate. So great work, boys. And the only issue with this is we've sort of blown our trumpet now, so we have to go on with it. And we're going to have to revisit the accountability in 3 weeks' time when we do our final show. So hopefully it's still in the positive. How do you feel about it, boys?
Oh, you've got to be pretty happy, I think, with that, Rich. And
yeah,
look,
great.
I think Slick Splits and the Top Gun might have been Crunch Smithy late, and the SP would have been Squash. So arguably, we might have had a better return then. But, I mean, you've got to be happy being in the green either way.
Very good. Now, boys, it's been well documented, but we had the passing of one of the legends of the game, Fernando Bauer, one of the best sprinters we've ever seen and one of the best sires we've ever seen. Let's have a bit of a talk about it. Why don't we set the mood by going back and looking at the 2015 Golden Easter Egg. Of course, Tim Newbold was famous for saying, Fernando Bauer comes out humming. And there he goes there. And it was one of the more dominant wins he's had and really announced him on the scene as the best dog in the country. Boys, you would have both been young men back when Fernando Bauer was running. Can you let us know some of your memories? Patch, I might start with you, mate.
Yeah, well, I was 21 at the time and pretty fresh in terms of having an interest in and being involved in greyhound racing, and quite quickly he just captured the imagination of not only people in the sport, but I think on the fringes as well, with what he was able to achieve at one of the more crucial periods of time that the sport's ever had. So not only has he been an absolute star on the track, I think one thing that is underestimated in terms of his achievements is throwing greyhounds of colour. And by that, I mean your black and whites, your fawns, your blues, whatever it might be, because that is so vital when it comes to rehoming from an adoption point of view. Those dogs are quite off the shelf, as we know. So I think that's been an underrated achievement from him. Not that he was in control of it, but at least from a race dog, he was just unbelievable. And the memory I'll never forget, and I was young, working at Sandown, not having a lot of experience. I remember holding the Melbourne Cup custom-made rugs, which have the names on them, and just holding them and looking at these names, Fernando Bale, Dyna Double, and I'm holding these rugs before the race, thinking, how dare I be doing this? And of course, it ended up playing out to be one of the great Melbourne Cups of all time. So yeah, plenty of memories from the GOAT, and so sad to know he's no longer with us.
Love it, Patch. Corey, tell us about some of your memories, mate.
Yeah, well, you just go back and watch basically any of his races. He showed that customary speed, and he was eye-catching, and he was a dog that transcended the sport, and something that Patch and I were obviously both in the formative years. We're both of similar ages, and he was a dog that we were able to tell our friends about. We were getting excited about greyhound racing, and we might start talking about a dog that wins a grade five at Sandown. They have no idea what we're talking about, but you mentioned Fernando Bale, and everyone was enthralled. Everyone was excited to talk about him, and for him to go on and do what he has at stud, it's been just unbelievable for the sport. Patch touched on a couple of things there, but he's so impressive at every aspect of the sport. He's just the perfect dog, really. I remember back to that Melbourne Cup as well, where he didn't actually win, and it's probably one of the big memories of Fernando Bale, and it became such an iconic moment because he was so unbelievably good, and Dyna Double One put down the gauntlet to him, and neither dog gave in, and it was just a classic battle of speed versus strength. And speaking of his speed, I go back to his maturity win. I think it was 2015, and his sectional still stand up to this day. The sectional that he set to the back split is still the record, and the hairs on the back of the neck just stand up every time I watch a race that he did, and his impact will be felt through generations and generations of greyhounds to come, because his impact at stud is unmatched, really.
Yeah, and we can see that on Saturday night in the Melbourne Cup. There's five dogs that are very closely related to him, three that are actually by him, and then another two that are very closely related. So, yeah, his legacy lives on even on Saturday night.
Absolutely. He's going to be living on for generations and generations to come. And there's been so many group ones where he's had nearly the whole field that have been sired by him. And it just doesn't happen. It's one thing to see it, but to have it go over and over and over again. And it'd be fitting for him to sire the Melbourne Cup winner this week.
And just before, sorry, Rich, just before we move on from that, for anyone out there who's been to Sandown in the past few years, there's actually the Neil Brown Museum, which has a lot of historical items in there. And I understand the plan is, now I can't remember what the technical term of it is, but Fernando's going to be stuffed a little bit like Farlap is at a museum down here in Victoria, and put in that Neil Brown Museum. So, I mean, in the years to come, people will be able to see him in the flesh. It might be a little bit scary, it might not, but at least we'll have a direct connection to him. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people out there wanting a photo with a goat.
That's beautiful. I think it's taxidermy is the phrase.
That's the one.
But I'll quickly go and look that up.
We'll I've got a wrap. Stuffed.
What was it? Yeah, yeah. Roll interchangeable stuffed. With stuffed. I like that. We've got to wrap up, boys, but next week's a little bit quieter, so we'll do a full review of the Melbourne Cup and the Bold Trees, and then we're going to gear right up for the Phoenix. Corey, a little bit of Phoenix news. Another slot was announced, Sportsbet. Who have they snapped up?
Sportsbet rolled out Barefoot Zulu a couple of weeks ago, and unfortunately he went amiss. So they quickly snapped up Accredited. I'm assuming they would have talked to quite a few different people, connections, dogs, but decided to go with the Group 1 Hume Cup winner, who I'm tipping in the Melbourne Cup. So he's I'm imagining Sportsbet are pretty excited about having him on board, and hopefully going to try and do the double that Explicit did last year with the Melbourne Cup into the Phoenix. But we'll see how that plays out on Saturday night.
Very good. Hey, boys, thank you for your help today. And everyone out there, enjoy watching Melbourne Cup Night on racing.com. And if you're lucky enough to be out there, go and say g'day to the boys. Thanks. Up the Dan. See you all soon. Think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.